जयो राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय गोपी जनावल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय गोपी जनावल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपी जनावल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बनचारी। यमुना तीरा बनचारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय गोपी जनावल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तेरा बनचारी। यमुना तेरा बनचारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। कुंज विहारी। हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे हरे। हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा
कृष्णा
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Rama Hare Hare Jayo Radha Vallabha Radha Vallabha Shri Radhe Jayo Jagannatha Jagannatha Baladeva Jayo Subhadra Gauranitai 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 Jayo Gauranitai Jayo Jayo Prabhupad 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 Jayo Jayo Prabhupad Jayo Jayo Gurudev 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 Jayo Jayo Gurudev Nitai Gaura Haribol 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 Nitai Gaura Haribol निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीला प्रभुपाद, श्रीला प्रभुपाद की जय। नम ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। Welcome all of you for today's discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are reading from Canto 6, Chapter 19, text number 5. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतिरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। यथा त्वं कृपया भूत्या तेजसा महिमौजसा जुष्ट ईशः गुणैः सर्वैः ततोऽसि भगवान् प्रभुः। यथा त्वं कृपया भूत्या तेजसा महिमौजसा जुष्ट ईशः गुणैः सर्वैः ततोऽसि भगवान् प्रभुः। यथा त्वं कृपया भूत्या तेजसा महिमौजसा जुष्ट ईशः गुणैः सर्वैः ततोऽसि भगवान् प्रभुः। यथा त्वं कृपया भूत्या तेजसा महिमौजसा जुष्ट ईश गुणैः सर्वैः ततोऽसि भगवान् प्रभु। तत्त्वं तेजसा महिमौजसा तो से भगवान प्रभु हो। माता जी अतो त्वं कृपया भूत्या
तेजसा महिमोजसा जुष्ट एष गुणैः सर्वे प्रभुः।
माताजी यथा त्वं कृपया भूत्या तेजसौ महिमौजसा जुष्ट एष गुणैः सर्वैः श्री भगवान् प्रभुः। यथा त्वं कृपया भूत्या तेजसा महिमौजसा जुष्ट एष गुणैः सर्वैः भगवान् ततोऽसि भगवान् प्रभुः। यथा एज त्वं यू कृपया विथ मर्सी भूत्या विथ ऑपुलेंसेस तेजसा विथ Prowess, Mahima Ojasa, with glory and strength, Jushtaha, endowed, Isha, O my Lord, Gunaihi, with transcendental qualities, Sarvaihi, all, Tataha, therefore, Asi, you are, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhu, the Master. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O my Lord, because you are endowed with causeless mercy, all opulences, all prowess, and all glories, strength and transcendental qualities, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of everyone. Purport. In this verse, the words Tatosi Bhagavan Prabhuhu mean, therefore you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of everyone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with all six opulences in full, and moreover, he is extremely kind to his devotee. Although he is full in himself, he nonetheless wants all living entities to surrender unto him so that they may engage in his service. Thus he becomes satisfied. Although he is full in himself, he nonetheless becomes pleased when his devotees offer him patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water in devotion. Sometimes the Lord, as the child of Mother Yashoda, requests his devotee for some food, as if he were hungry. Sometimes he tells his devotee in a dream that his temple and garden are now very old and that he cannot enjoy them very nicely. Thus he requests the devotee to repair them. Sometimes he is buried in the earth and as if unable to come out himself, he requests his devotee to rescue him. Sometimes he requests his devotee to preach his glories all over the world, although he alone is quite competent to perform this task. Even though the Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with all possessions and is self-sufficient, he depends on his devotees. Therefore, the relationship of the Lord with his devotees is extremely confidential. Only the devotee can perceive how the Lord, although full in himself, depends on his devotee for some particular work. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 11:33, where the Lord tells Arjuna, Nimittam matram bhava savyasachin. O Arjuna, merely be an instrument in the fight. Lord Krishna had the competence to win the battle of Kurukshetra, but nonetheless he induced his devotee Arjuna to fight and become the cause of victory. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quite competent enough to spread his name and mission all over the world, but still he depended upon his devotee to do this work. Considering all these points, the most important aspect of the Supreme Lord's self-sufficiency is that he depends on his devotees. This is called his causeless mercy. The devotee who has perceived this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by realization can understand the master and the servant. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yontah Pravishya Mamavacham Imam Prasuktam Sanjeeva Yatyakhila Shakti Dharasvadhamna Anyamscha Hasta Charana Shravanatvagadin Prananamo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam Yam Pravrajantam Anupetam Anupeta Krityam Dvaipayana Virahakatara Ajuhava Putreti Tanmayataya Taravobhinedu Stham Sarva Bhuta Hridayam Munimanatosmi Hare Krishna. So welcome all of you for today's discussion. It's a very nice canto, very nice chapter going on, chapter 19. We had just now completed chapter 18 about the details of the Pumsavana Vrata, the ceremony that Diti had to hold to beget a child. And we saw how Kashyapa very cleverly has influenced her to become a devotee. So she's now praying to the Lord. So this is a part of the prayers that she's offering to the Lord. In the Vedas, it is said, it is difficult to know Krishna without the help of the Vedas. So it's only through the Vedas we know Krishna. But seldom the Vedas reveal the details about Krishna very apparently. So it's very difficult. Most of the times Krishna is hidden. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. It is hidden in the Vedas. But Bhagavatam does not hesitate. Bhagavatam is openly telling that the only purpose of the Vedas, the only purpose or the sum and substance of all the scriptures is to know Krishna. And therefore we see in this vrata that she's doing, because these types of vrata you will see in the Vedas also. In the Vedas, there is something called as Putra Kameshti Yagna. Putra Kameshti Yagna is for someone who wants to beget a child. So in the same way, there are so many rituals that is mentioned in the Vedas, but the root purpose of all the rituals is to please Krishna. And that is what this prayer is about, that Diti is offering that. That, oh my dear Lord, because you are endowed with causeless mercy, all opulences, all prowess and all glory, strength and transcendental qualities, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of everything. So basically she is enlisting the opulences of the Lord. But what was interesting to me is how Prabhupada takes the purport. Because Prabhupada is not discussing about the opulences of the Lord. Did you notice that? He starts the purport by saying, Tato asi Bhagavan Prabhu. Therefore, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you are the master of everyone. And Prabhupada starts his mood, you see the mood of Prabhupada, it starts from, although he is full in himself, he nonetheless wants all the living entities to surrender unto him so that they may engage in his service. So the Lord is complete. The Lord is Atma Kama, Atma Trupta, Atma Rama. So he doesn't want anything outside of him. See, for example, for us as jivas, we always want something outside of us, you see. We are hungry, we need food, so we depend on food. We are hungry for love, we want association. Huh? We want to get married so that we can beget children. So there is something always we look outside of ourselves. Krishna is not like that. Krishna is Swayam Trupta. He is Swatantra. He is Swarat. Tene Brahma Hridayadi Kavaye Muhyanti Yatu Surayaha Tejo Vari Mridam Yata Vinimayat Yatra Trisargom Risha Dhamna Svena Sadanirasta Kuhakam Satyam Param Dhimahi. So, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says he's Swarat, he's independent. He's not dependent on anything external to him. Actually, jivas are also like that in one sense, but they are looking something outside because we feel that we are apurna, incomplete. Yesterday, Mataji was explaining, because Prabhupada mentioned this verse, Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate. The complete units emanate from the complete whole. Although we are not as complete as the Lord, we have to understand that. I'll give you a simple example. Imagine the Lord is the reservoir of all of the universes and it's filled with some substance, let's say water. And there are tiny different sized pots around us, a clay pot. And all of these pots are filled with water. So what does it mean? There is a big pot and I have filled up all the different sizes of pots with water. If you see all the pots of different sizes, they're all full, but they are not the same as the big pot. And not all pots are equal and not all pots are same, but every pot is complete. You get the idea? So every jiva is complete to his own level, to his own yogyata, to his own capacity, to his own eligibility, he is complete. But he's different to every other pot. Every pot is unique. So Krishna's creation is unique. No two pots are equal. No two leaves of a tree are equal. Everything is bhinna. Bhinna prakriti rashtatha. So bhinna means different. Everything is different. So Krishna's creation is very interesting. So Krishna is complete in that sense. And so are we complete in that sense. So in this verse, Prabhupada starts saying, although he is complete, it looks like he wants all of us to surrender unto him. And this surrender, he is demanding us to surrender not because he is incomplete, not because he needs our surrender. Just like the king rules his subjects and he wants his subjects to surrender unto him so that they won't revolt against him. They have to follow his orders so that he can still remain the king. But that is not Krishna's mentality, that I have to remain the Lord as long as you surrender to me. And if you don't surrender, I might lose my lordship. That is not the mood of Krishna, and that is not the position of Krishna. He's demanding surrender because it is good for us as jivas. But what is interesting is, although he is full in himself, he nonetheless becomes pleased when his devotees offer. And then Prabhupada's mood starts. Sometimes the Lord, as the child of Mother Yashoda, requests his devotees for some food. So this is the crux of the purport. Prabhupada says the causeless mercy, because Diti is saying yatha tvam kripaya bhutya. You are a reservoir of causeless mercy. This causeless mercy itself, the word itself is very interesting. And Prabhupada takes this causeless mercy. What is causeless mercy of Krishna? What is causeless mercy of Krishna? Correct. So that's what Prabhupada says in the purport. Causeless mercy means that he is engaging his devotees, and he's Prabhupada uses this word, Krishna's dependence on his devotees is his causeless mercy. And that's a bit interesting to understand. Krishna is dependent on his devotees, and that is the causeless mercy of Krishna. So it's quite interesting to understand, because generally when we see causeless mercy means, I was thinking these days, you know, in Vrindavan, what's interesting, we have a huge Yamuna flowing next door, but there is no water to drink. And you can't survive without money nowadays, because even to drink water you need to pay money. You have to buy paid water in Vrindavan. This is the sorry state of the pilgrimages we have, the dhams we have. But Krishna is so merciful that he's given us water, he's given us free air to breathe. Probably there'll be a day when we'll have to pay for air also. We have to buy oxygen masks. That day is going to come very soon in Kali Yuga. We pray that that doesn't come, but we already have to pay water. And this time when we went as devotees, we made a vow, we will never buy plastic bottles. Because devotees go, they drink plastic bottles and throw it. And they all end up in Yamuna. You see, as devotees also, we pollute Krishna's mercy. So we will see how Prabhupada is telling us, Krishna's dependence on his devotees means, I have Krishna's dependence on my shoulders, therefore I have a responsibility of Krishna's mercy on me. So it's a very interesting purport how Prabhupada takes this when Diti is praying like that. So the crux, Prabhupada says in the last line of the purport, the devotee who has perceived this causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord by realization can understand the master and the servant. So how do I understand Krishna? By realizing his causeless mercy. That's how I can understand. Because understanding Krishna is not easy. One may think if I do Shastric studies, I can understand Krishna. If I read the whole Bhagavatam, I can understand Krishna. We cannot understand Krishna by reading Bhagavatam. We have to read the Bhagavatam and realize it. Realize it, only then we can understand Krishna and his causeless mercy. When I was contemplating on this, I was trying to draw a parallel between how do devotees realize Krishna and his mercy, and how do people in general, the conditioned souls, realize his mercy. So I was looking at the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, of how every jiva is bound by the illusory energy of Krishna, which is also mercy of Krishna only. It's also mercy because the energy of Krishna is acting not because Krishna wants us to suffer in this material world. Just like, you see, if you have a magnet, you see, and you have some iron filings on paper, the children would have done this experiment. You've done this experiment. You've put iron filings on paper and you move the magnet below it, and you see how the iron filings jump. The magnet is not desiring that the iron filings should jump. The magnet is not desiring, oh, I will make the iron filings jump. No. Its field of energy, the magnetic energy, is making the iron filings naturally jump. Because that's the power of magnetic energy. So in the same way, Krishna's energy, the material energy, is acting. Because its natural act is to make the jivas conditioned in this material world. Krishna is not desiring that you should get conditioned. But because the Maya is so strong, and because we desire that I want to enjoy separately from Krishna, it is because Krishnasya daivad vimukhasya, Krishnasya jivad Krishnasya vimukhasya daivad adharma shilasya sudhukkitasya. We are so conditioned to experience dukkha. We think it is sudukha. Very nice dukkha I want to experience. Adharma shilasya sudhukkitasya. So therefore we become Krishnasya jivat vimukhasya daivat. So we turn our faces away from Krishna. So this is Krishna, and we become away from Krishna and face Maya. Now we are facing Maya, and I am saying, oh Maya, I like you. Let me hug you. We are going to hug Maya now. So this is what every jiva's pravritti here in this material world. So how the illusory energy of Krishna also binds us or helps us to fulfill our desires. It starts in the first chapter with Arjuna. You know, Arjuna tells Krishna one verse. This is where the transition happens in the first chapter. Sanjaya is explaining the battlefield, observing the battlefield or the armies in the battlefield. And then Arjuna says,
Sena yor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapaya mechuta yava deta niriksheham yodhukama navasthitan kairmaya sahayodhavyam asmin rana samyudhyame.
Imagine Arjuna is saying, Senayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapaya me achyuta. You see the word, Arjuna is instructing Krishna, Senayor ubhayor madhye, amongst the armies, ratham sthapaya me achyuta. Do you notice that? Arjuna is saying, Krishna, I want to observe the armies more closely. Senayor ubhayor madhye. I want to go in the middle and observe the army. So Krishna, Achyuta, infallible one, may, my ratha, senayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapaya me Achyuta. So Krishna thought, oh, okay, your ratha, all right. So you see, what is the lesson we learn? It seems as if Arjuna is bewildered by the illusory energy and he thinks this is my chariot. So Krishna, you take my chariot in midst of the army so that I can examine the armies. Yodhu kama navasthitan, those people who are kama, means yodhu means one who is desiring to fight, kairmaya yodhavyam, kairmaya sahayodhavyam, asmin rana samyudhyame. Who is desiring to fight, who thinks must be conquered by my prowess, take my chariot in the middle. I want to examine them. And the next he continues. But before that, let us understand how this applies to us. The first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The first chapter is called as the psychology. It's a psychiatrist. When anybody studying psychology, you can understand. Krishna is the greatest doctor. He is the greatest psychiatrist. Jivas in this illusory world also have this mentality that my body, this body is the chariot, and I think it is my body. Krishna, please fulfill all my desires so that I can continue to battle in this field of Maya, so that I can think illusorily that I can win this battle. I can conquer based on my strength, my opulence, my capabilities, my intelligence, my prowess. This is how we think. So therefore, Krishna, my body, I want to make sure that my body is successful. So please navigate my body in this material world. Very similar, you see, draw the parallels. And Krishna, Arjuna continues further. He says, Yotsyamanan avekshaham ya etetra samagataha dhardharashtrasya durbuddhehe yuddhe priyachikitsavaha. So he's saying, Krishna, everybody's come here to fight with me. So let me see this dhardharashtra. Dhardharashtra. Dhardharashtra means, you know what? Who is dhardharashtraha? Correct, son of Dhritarashtra. Because Krishna, you see, Kunti, Kaunteya, Dhritarashtra, Dhartarashtra means the son of Dhritarashtra. So this Duryodhana who has come and the sons of Duryodhana, the son of Dhritarashtra who have come to fight, I want to see them. Durbuddehe, these people are evil-minded, I want to see them. You know, so much pride Arjuna is having. Yotsakaman avekshaham, let me see who have come here to fight, wishing to please the evil-minded Dhartarashtra, Dhritarashtra. So in the same way, all of us wants to fight. All of us wants to fight what? Fight Maya. You see? Each jiva in this material world wants to fight Maya. How? I don't want to get old. I don't want to die. I don't want to get a disease. I want to fight. Whom are we fighting? Maya. Who is Maya? Daivihi esha gunamami mai mama maya duratyaya, Krishna says. But yet, no, I'll fight Maya. How dare, I'm strong. The scientists will think, don't worry, we will discover something. Time and again I see this blog saying, 2040, every living entity in this material world will live eternally. The scientists are very close in discovering the gene and the DNA mapping, blah, 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 will become immortal. 2040, please wait. So what is this? Fight against Krishna's energy. They have declared a fight against Krishna's energy, and it is a one-sided battle. We know who's going to win. Maya is going to win, you see. But here it seems Arjuna wants to fight Maya. And he wants to fight. Fighting Maya is not bad. What is ridiculed here is fighting Maya on my own strength is ridiculed. Krishna, Arjuna is saying, I want to see on my strength, me Achyuta, my body, Krishna, you take me there. So this is what is condemned. Now, Krishna understands Arjuna's predicament here. Oh, okay, Arjuna, so you think it is your chariot? All right. So then the video goes to Sanjaya Vacha, and then that's how the Bhagavad Gita flows. In fact, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. When was Bhagavad Gita spoken? When did Sanjaya start speaking to Dhritarashtra? Many people think it was spoken when the war began. Actually, it began after Bhishma Pitamaha was laid down on the arrows, bed of arrows. And then Sanjaya travels back and he starts. It's a historical treatise. 10 days after the battle had started. So that's how the Bhagavad Gita recitation begins. After, how will you know this? When you read Mahabharata, you will come to know that he goes to tell the news that Bhishma Dev is defeated now. Then he begins to chant, recite the Bhagavad. That's how Bhagavad Gita starts. So, now Sanjaya Vacha has come. Evam hukto hrishikesho gudakeshena bharata senayor ubhayor madhye sthapayitva rathottamam. What does Krishna do? Krishna does not take the ratha anywhere and stop. Because Krishna is a psychiatrist. So he takes the ratha right in front of Bhishma Pitama and Dronacharya. And then says, Bhishma Drona Pramukhataha Sarvesham cha Mahikshitam Uvacha Partha Pashyaitan Samavetan Kuruniti. Sanjay is saying, Krishna speaks actually in the first chapter, but he doesn't speak. Sanjaya says that Krishna spoke. What is that? Uvacha Partha Pashyaitan. That's all Krishna spoke. He says, Arjuna, you said you wanted to examine the army. Lo and behold, I have put the ratha where I have to put. Now you examine the army. Now you see. Now see it for yourself. So in the same way, although we declare a war against Maya, Krishna brings us right face to face to those who will show us the reality of this material world. What are they? Disease, old age, and death. And when we see them, what happens is what we will see Arjuna. What happens to Arjuna? And all Krishna did was, Uvacha Partha Pashyaitan. Okay, please behold. And we think we are strong, we are eligible, we can fight Maya, nothing. One magic of Krishna, everything will, Krishna defeats us just by one thing. You know, so many people just get bewildered by watching, by seeing one gray hair in their head. Is it not? One gray hair comes and, oh my God, I've got a gray hair. You see, Krishna can bewilder us, a very strong jiva, just by one gray hair. You see? So this material world is very difficult. And very quickly, Arjuna transforms, you see. Arjuna starts saying, just when Krishna puts Arjuna in the midst of the battlefield, when he sees Bhishma, Drona, his teachers, Kripacharya, immediately Arjuna's psychiatric treatment has begun. All that me Achyuta has vanished. Now he says, Drishtve mam swajanah Krishna, yuyutsum samupasthitam, sidanti mamagatrani mukham cha parishushyati. My mouth is drying off now, looking at Bhishma Pitamaha, and he's realized the reality now. Reality bites, they say. So now he's realized it. Vepatuschu sharire me romaharshascha jayate gandivam samshrate hastat twakchaiva paridahyate. My whole body is trembling, my hair is standing on the end, my bow gandiva is slipping from my hand, and my skin is burning. You see, actually, when we read Bhagavad Gita, we have to understand, we are reading these symptoms of Arjuna. It is not easy to understand because it only takes a warrior to understand what it is to be in the battlefield, because there's a war going on between Russia and Ukraine. We see in the news, right? But it's not easy to understand. Think about it. My wife's grandfather was in World War II. He was in Italy fighting against Mussolini. So he was 85 years old, and when we were in the UK, he was telling us the story. He was saying most of the battle was fought by a lot of Indians. A lot of Indian, poor Indians were employed in the battlefield in the form of jobs, and they were sent to fight for World War II. All these details and facts, we will not find it in movies. All we read is novels and movies, you see. Alistair MacLean's novels and things like that, where these facts are hidden. He used to tell us, There used to be a room where they used to cook rice. When you open the door, you'll find mounds of rice. And you know how it was served? So the soldiers will have a plate and a glass and a cup, an aluminium plate and a cup. And there's another plate where they lift the rice from the floor and throw it on the plate like that. And they have to finish it. And then watery dal, they have to move, keep moving, and they have to eat. And incidentally, my wife comes from a Sri Vaishnava background, so her grandfather was a pakka rasam rice man, so only vegetarian. So he was going through the Red Sea, he tells me a story, I'll just share it just for the sake of it. So he was in Egypt, the ships, they all were moved through the ship, and he was in Egypt. And in Egypt, the local people were selling merchandise to the soldiers who were traveling. And one of the Egyptian guys was selling eggs, you see, boiled eggs. And he was speaking in Hindi, anda anda pakka, you see. And my wife's grandfather speaks Tamil. So whenever he says anda pakka, he used to say here and there, because he thinks anda pakka, in Tamil say anda pakka means see there. He didn't understand Hindi. So like that he traveled there and he was telling it was so difficult. And he was in the, what a trench is? So they dig a trench and you have to stand in the trench holding a rifle, a gun, and any time you can be killed. And the grandfather tells me, right next to him, his friend was shot dead by the Germans. When a bullet hit him, it hit his gun, and the gun just split apart. And it was a bomb that a flight dropped, and one of the splinter just went and hit his throat. And he saw his friend die right in front of him, and he cried when he remembered this. And he was 85. This was probably 65 years ago, or maybe 70 years ago, that he had seen this picture. He cried even when he was explaining this when he was 85 years old. And he said, "It was very painful to see my friend die, and I still had to leave him there and move on because the Germans were attacking." And he was saying the trenches were so wet, you see, it was wet with rain, it was freezing, and his socks was wet. Imagine standing in the rain, you see, it's so raining outside, and we feel, oh, what suppose if I get drenched? But a soldier has to stand in the trench with his shoes wet, with wet socks. He has to go on for days, not that he will go and have shelter at the end of the day and sitting in a heater. He has to go on for days. It's very difficult to be in the battlefield. So Arjuna's predicament, thinking of a battlefield, we have to imagine only a soldier will know what a death means, because he is seeing death every day. Anytime death can come, so he's going out and he might not come back. You see, a soldier's life is difficult. So I'm just putting some perspective here to understand Arjuna's predicament. And such a person, he's saying, vepatuscha sharire me, I am now, my body is shivering and my gandiva is slipping out of my hand. So such a strong person. In Australia also, most of the people, Australian citizens, had to go to UK and Europe to fight the war, you see. And predominantly the women back here, they had only one duty, to stitch socks. You read Australian history. They had to stitch socks, thick socks, so that their feet doesn't get wet. The soldiers' feet don't get wet when they're standing in the trenches with rain and freezing weather and things like that. So war is a curse on humanity. But at the same time, it dawns us the reality of this material world and material life. This material life also teaches us. It's just that it is not so physical. The material world also drains us, but we do not realize it. Just as a donkey carries the dhobi's clothes, we also continue to fight this material world, you see. But we do not realize that we are losing the war at all times. So, but fortunately for Arjuna, he realized his folly. There are two types of people, you see. One person realizes his folly and then surrenders to Krishna. He surrendered to Krishna and he says, please guide me. But how did he surrender to Krishna? And what was the mercy of Krishna flowing through Arjuna? In what way? Very interestingly, this is how it relates back to Prabhupada. He did not surrender to Krishna. Can you stop that, Prabhuji? It's distracting me, sorry. He did not surrender to Krishna as the Supreme Lord. He surrendered to Krishna as the Guru. You see, that's when the relationship changed. And then now, he says, Karpanya doshopahata svabhava. And then Krishna, when Arjuna became his shishya, shishyasteham sadhimam, then Arjuna spoke. So what does it mean? It means, at least Arjuna was fortunate because here Krishna is playing the role of Gitacharya. He's the Acharya there. He's taken over the role of a guru. But for us, the embodiment of Krishna's mercy is coming through a spiritual master, through the guru only, because the mercy of Krishna flows through his devotees. And from devotees comes to conditioned jivas. And these conditioned jivas, when it comes to them, they begin bhakti. How does one begin bhakti according to a Nectar of Devotion? How does anyone begin bhakti? Shraddha. But how does Shraddha come in the first place? Correct. And what is it called as according to Rupa Goswami? Correct. Agnata Sukruti. It is Agnata Sukruti, right? Agnata Sukruti, if you see the word Sanskritam, Agnata means what? Gnata means that which you can remember or you can know about. Agnata means that you cannot know about or that which you cannot remember about. So Agnata Sukruti means somehow or the other, some influence, you have become a devotee because some pure devotee wanted you to become a devotee. But actually Agnata has a different meaning. You see, Gnata means to remember. Agnata, A also means Akarosmi Bhagavan. A means Krishna, because Krishna says among the syllable, I am A. That's why A in the Om, A, U, Ma, it's made of three syllables. And of course the Ma, and it's actually made of eight in one sense. But the first syllable of, the first letter of Om, A, signifies Krishna. U signifies Uti, which is Rama, and Ma signifies Narasimha. If you'll read the Veda, there's a different meditation on Om altogether. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Akarosmi means A, means it's me. Krishna means A. So Agnata means one who knows A, one who remembers A, he's Agnata. So Agnata Sukruti means that which is Krishna's Sukruti, not unknown Sukruti. So actually Agnata Sukruti means the mercy of Krishna. So because of the mercy of Krishna, Shraddha begins. It's not unknown or that which you cannot know, but it is because of Krishna that Sukruti comes. So it's actually that, it is his mercy. But why is it causeless? Because that mercy come to us even though we are not eligible for it. I'm not eligible to get that mercy, but Krishna gives it. Well, Krishna doesn't give it. It comes through the mercy of the devotees. So here, Arjuna is fortunate, but we get the mercy through devotees. And Prabhupada's beautiful meditation here, you can see, sometimes that independent Lord acts as if he is the child of Mother Yashoda and he is seeking prasadam, or he is seeking bhoga from Yashoda. Yashoda Mai saying, I am hungry. But how can Krishna get hungry, you see? Krishna can never get hungry, but yet he wants to experience that pleasure of being treated by his mother. And next line, Prabhupada says, sometimes he tells his devotee in a dream to fix his temple. You see, he comes in his dream to fix the temple. But what's the third one? Sometimes he is buried in the earth and as if unable to come out himself, he requests his devotee to rescue him. What is that? Huh? Correct. So sometimes the deity of Krishna is buried under the earth and it is as if Krishna cannot manifest himself, and he comes in the dream of a devotee and asks him to dig and say rescue him. You see, Prabhupada is very careful in saying this, that this causeless mercy of Krishna, or Krishna engaging his very confidential associates in the service of Krishna, is his causeless mercy. That is Krishna's dependence on his devotees. You see, just as Krishna is dependent on his devotee, a devotee is also dependent on Krishna, on the mercy of Krishna. Just as preachers or as in the temple, if a new person comes, we engage the person in some seva, you see. I was hearing His Grace Charu Prabhu in the Utah temple in US. Sometimes if there is no service, he used to pour a glass of water on the floor and say, oh, sorry, can you please help me wipe the floor? and he used to do that. The reason, because when someone engages himself in service or seva, it purifies the heart. Because sometimes you cannot make someone a devotee just by intellectual conviction. If you convince him philosophically, he might not. But you engage him in service, when he cleans the floor, some transformation happens in the heart. So that is what Prabhupada says, that a devotee is not demanding work from him, but engaging him in seva so that Krishna notices it. Oh, look at him. He's so nicely wiping the floor, my temple's floor. So therefore, I'll give him some mercy. So this is how, and that mercy didn't of course it came from Krishna, but through the devotee, through his confidential or confidant, the dear devotees of the Lord. So, and as devotees, we need to acknowledge this mercy. Bhishma Deva, in his prayers, in the Bhishma Stuti, he actually glorifies this particular relationship between Arjuna and Krishna, because this relationship is very confidential. Prabhupada says in the purport, it's very confidential relationship, and it takes a lot of realization and meditation or contemplation to understand this relationship. Bhishma Dev says, I will chant this verse in the Bhishma Stuti. Vyavahita pritana mukham nirikshat svajana vadhad vimukhasya dosha bodhya kumati maharadatma svidyayash charanarati paramasya tasya mestu. Bhishma Deva says, what stops a conditioned jiva from realizing the mercy of Krishna? It is svajana vadhad vimukhasya dosha buddhya. It is because of the dosha buddhi. Dosha buddhi means what? The polluted consciousness. The polluted intelligence blocks us from realizing Krishna's mercy. Here, what was the dosha buddhi of Arjuna? Thinking that he can manage everything himself. And this is what happened when Yudhishthira went for the gambling match. It is said in Mahabharata, Krishna told Yudhishthira, the Kauravas invited Pandavas to come for the gambling match. Yudhishthira and the Pandavas are about to go. And Krishna said, would you also want me to come with you? And Yudhishthira says, don't worry Krishna, we can manage it. And lo and behold, what happened? They lost everything. Because Yudhishthira thought, I can manage everything on my own might. So this is the problem. Here also, that is the dosha buddhi. Dosha buddhi means polluted consciousness, thinking I am the Lord. I can do bhakti without Krishna. It is me who is chanting. It is me who is doing bhakti. It is me who is preaching. You see this me consciousness? Because to even do bhakti, it is Krishna only who is helping me to do bhakti. It is he who is helping me to move the mala. It is not my finger which is moving. It is Krishna inside me helping to do, moving. It is Krishna sitting in the throat and helping me to speak. So one, a devotee, as devotees, we need to acknowledge and realize the mercy of Krishna. How Krishna's mercy is flowing in so many different ways. So to realize this mercy is called Shraddha. This faith one needs to have that, yes, it is because of Krishna that I'm able to do everything. Now, this mercy comes because of Guru. And we are very fortunate today because it is the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is the spiritual master of our Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It's a very auspicious day today to remember Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because for us, especially the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, We are very fortunate because we are trained especially how to serve a guru, how a disciple should serve a guru, especially by personal training and by training by the senior Vaishnavas or advanced Vaishnavas. The final pastimes of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was almost on his last days of his winding up his pastimes, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was to his disciples that I had come here with a specific purpose. And what was the purpose of him? What was the purpose he was here? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He tells to his disciples, I was here to explain Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, the most confidential teachings. And what was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings? The most confidential teachings? What was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach us? He wanted to teach us one thing, to understand the mood of Srimati Radharani. So this is our sampradaya actually. But this understanding had to come through whom? Had to come through whom? How do we understand the mood of Srimati Radharani in our sampradaya? Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, but specifically whom? Which sadhu? Huh? Yes, Prabhu? through Lord Chaitanya, but who was the Nimitta here? Okay. Nityananda Prabhu, of course, is the Guru Tattva. Through Rupa Goswami. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give it, but he did not give it directly to us. You see, he didn't leave any writings except the Shikshashtakam. But he instructed Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami to give this Siksha to us. So therefore, and who is Rupa Goswami in the Vrajalila? Rupa Manjari, who is the most confidant of Radharani, Srimati Radharani. So this mood, and that too, because Radharani has two camps, you know that, right? Radharani and the other camp is Chandravali. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes the specific point to say, we don't even want to worship Krishna through the mood of Chandravali, but through the mood of Radharani via Rupa Manjari. Very specifically, to this mood. And this mood is where Chandravali says, I am Krishna's. This is the mood. But Radharani says, Krishna is mine. This is the mood of Radharani. So we worship and understand the mood of Radharani and worship Krishna through her mood. Specifically in the Nectar of Devotion about Raganuga Bhakti. How that was the goal. That is the goal of any practitioner of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakta. That we have to reach to that goal. But of course, to perfect our Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But the way Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur preached was very bewildering to the saints around him at those times. Because he was a very unique teacher. There was one episode which I was hearing. He was in Radha Kund. Now think about it, Radha Kunda, you're sitting in Radha Kunda with your disciples, and he was preaching hard on Upanishads. Can you believe that? And his disciples were thinking, we are sitting next to Radha Kunda, why not Radha Leela or Radha Krishna Leela or the pastimes of Krishna and Radha? Why Upanishads? It is shushka, it is dry. But Radha Kunda means rasa. Rasa Tattva. But here our spiritual master is telling us about Upanishads. So one of them asked Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Prabhupada, why Upanishads at this point in time? Why not churn Rasa Tattva? Bhakti Siddhanta said that we are not pure enough. You are all not pure enough to understand the dealings between Radha and Krishna. So therefore, you have to purify yourselves by understanding Vedas and Upanishads first. And then you can get into Rasa Tattva. So that's why it was very difficult for him to. Whatever other saints did, he always did the opposite. It seemed as if he did the opposite. But it was by deep contemplation, it was the dear disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta, especially our dear Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who understood that mood actually. That is why in the purports you will see. The rasa tattva, rasa vichar is there, but at the same time it's not there. It's not very apparent. So you have to dig deeper in the purports of Srila Prabhupada. Even though one may think he did not ask, he told us not to do rasa vichar, Prabhupada still published Krishna book, which had the rasa leela and everything, and distributed to all, even new people. We give them as a pack nowadays, you see, Krishna book, which has the dearest and the confidential pastime of Radha and Krishna in that. The book has it. And yet Prabhupada said we should distribute it, you see. So this was the mercy of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And one very important thing he said is the jivas emanate from the body of Mahavishnu, you see, in this material world. And the Guru Tattva is an embodiment, and is an expansion of Baladeva, you know, Balaram, Lord Balaram, and then comes from Nityananda, and from Nityananda comes all the Guru Tattva. The mercy, Nityananda Prabhu is said to be more merciful than Chaitanya, you know that, right? Although we say, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishya Namaha. Nityananda Prabhu is more merciful, we see from the Jagai Madai pastime. Why? Because he is the Guru Tattva. And that mercy of Nityananda Prabhu stands before us in the form of Guru. When you see our Guru Maharaj, when you see Srila Prabhupada, it is the embodiment of mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So that I can perceive that mercy. We can perceive the mercy of our Guru, of Nityananda Prabhu or Lord Balaram by manifestation of the Guru in front of us. And by serving the Guru, by following his instruction. Serving means what? Many times you see when we think serving, it means we think cooking. or massaging the guru. No, that is not service. Service means taking the instructions of the guru seriously in our life and applying the instructions in our everyday, every minute, in our thought, word and deed. That is service of the guru. And thereby, by applying his instructions, we associate with the guru. Association does not mean physical association. Association also does not mean just hearing lectures. Many times devotees are hear the lectures. Well, that is also association, but association also means applying what we have heard in our life. So that is association. Because every time I'm remembering, this is what my Guru Maharaj said, this is what Prabhupada said, so therefore I have to do this, therefore I have to do this in my life. So this is association. Association under the instructions of the spiritual master. This is what, one is Krishna is giving the causeless mercy, and the other side, I am able to receive the causeless mercy. I should be able to receive it also. You see, sometimes Guru might pour. It's almost like this. When you go and hold Ganga, a pot in Ganga, the pot also gets flooded away. I asked this question to my Guru Maharaj initially when he was here. What suppose the Guru pours mercy and I'm not even able to hold that mercy and the pot also gets flooded away? So the answer was, no, the pot will not get flooded away. The mercy comes according to the capacity of the disciple. So therefore, we should be prepared to hold the mercy. We should come with open arms so that I can take that mercy in my heart and soul. So like this, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was telling us, in fact, when he was winding up his pastimes, he said, I primarily came to give this understanding of Rupa Goswami to everyone. But alas, I could not, because I spent most of the time fighting Sahajism and all of those apasampradayas that were predominant at that point in time, which is also there today as well. Although he was ordered personally by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute this knowledge. But one very important thing which is relevant for us during the book marathon time is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction to his disciples to print books. So he was saying, even though you can sell every tile in a temple and print books, so do it. So the importance of printing books and selling books, the Brihat Mridanga, and this instruction was taken very seriously by Srila Prabhupada and all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and of course the devotees who are doing book distribution now in the book marathon, that when we distribute a book to a person, we are actually giving that causeless mercy of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of Nityananda Prabhu, of Balaram, of Srila Prabhupada to a person. And we are just the instruments. No, nimitta matra bhava savya sachin. And we become the instrument. And becoming an instrument in the hands of Krishna and Guru itself is purifying for the devotee. Because becoming an instrument itself is very, very good. With this, I will stop here. I will just summarize that as devotees, we need to perceive this causeless mercy of Krishna. We should be able to realize it through realizations, applying the knowledge of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, instructions in our daily lives, and realize that causeless mercy. By that, we can definitely realize that Krishna is Tatosi Bhagavan Prabhu. So I'll stop here. Thank you, everyone, for eagerly lending your ear on this auspicious day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day, and whatever I spoke is for my purification, so that I can also realize the causeless mercy of Krishna. If there are any questions, comments, or corrections, or realizations, we can discuss for a few minutes. Yes, Sevya.
You said how Arjuna saying to the Lord to take my chariot into the battlefield. So we also see we have this tendency in the material world, the illusion of saying I and mine all the time. So my question is, in bhakti we also say my sadhana, my chanting, my reading. So how is it different from the material illusion?
Okay. My chanting, say that again, last line, you said? How a devotee thinks my chanting.
Yeah, my chanting, my reading, my sadhana.
Okay. Not that I am bereft of that knowledge. I'm also learning. I'm also a student like you. But there are two things I feel, that's how I understand it, is this disease of me and mine is very deep. And even while doing bhakti, it can creep into us. And that is because we are still in the phase of anartha nivritti. Adav shraddha, tatha sadhu sangha, tatha bhajana kriya, and then anartha nivritti. When we are doing this, we are shuffling between all of this. Shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti. And because we are shuffling through, when we say my chanting, of course it is, I am doing the chanting. There is something that we also do as a doer. But deep down, a devotee always acknowledges that, oh my dear Lord, thank you very much. Because of your mercy, I was able to chant your holy names. So somebody might say, Prabhuji, how many rounds did you do? I did not do any rounds, Prabhuji. Krishna did all the rounds. Of course, a devotee will not speak like that. A devotee will say, yes, Prabhuji, I did 16 rounds. He will not say, I didn't do, Prabhuji. Krishna only did 16 rounds. He won't talk like that. But for a loka vyavahara, like for this vyavahara or the dealings in this material world, he might say, me as a person I have done, not that me as a pride me, but as a person me. But inside, if he meditates that it is Krishna who has helped me to do the chanting, it is Krishna because of whom I was able to do bhakti, and he passes on the acknowledgement back to Krishna at all time, place and circumstance. In fact, not even Krishna, but the senior devotees who have helped us, the devotees who have helped us, the parents, and in your case, it will be your parents who are spending their time and effort to keep you, to protect your Krishna consciousness. You see, they're doing so much. So you should think, I'm so fortunate to take birth in this family who are protecting my Krishna consciousness. So thank you, Krishna, for giving us such a nice parent. You see? So if you think like that and you're passing the gratitude not because of your sadhana, but passing it to your parents, and the parents will pass it to their spiritual master, and then it goes up to Krishna. So that's how Krishna says, our prayers are never touched. But actually, we think we do sadhana to please Krishna. Do you think just by revolving some mala, Krishna will be pleased? Krishna is saying, oh, Hanuman is chanting my name so nice. Do you think he will think like that? No. We cannot please Krishna by just revolving some mala here. Just because I am chanting some words. Even a tape recorder chant. Do you think Krishna will be pleased by the tape recorder? No. Our sadhana, the only purpose of our sadhana is to please the Guru. If Guru get pleased, Krishna get pleased. We think we can go to Krishna directly. We don't go to, even when the offering, you know, the offering goes to Guru Maharaj or Prabhupada. And Prabhupada takes it to his Guru Maharaj, and like that it goes up to Krishna. We cannot access Krishna directly. Because of our anarthas. So we have to always be, so take the position of humbler than a blade of grass. Trinada pisuni chena tarora pisuni sahishnuna amanena manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And that makes us qualified to become Krishna conscious. And we see that in the pastime of Sanatana Goswami. I wanted to tell that pastime, but I was short of time. And this trinada pisuni chena does not happen on our own, I feel, because humility does not come on our own. Humility comes by the mercy of a guru. Humility comes by serving someone who is advanced than us. And they will teach us humility. See, when a devotee corrects us, what is our reaction to it? If we feel, oh, how come he corrects me? Who is he to correct me? The moment this comes to our mind, think that we are not ready for it. We are not ready. We are pride. We are proud. We are proud. The moment if a thought comes to my mind that who is he to correct me? How dare he corrects me? I know everything. I'm seeing it. The thought came to my mind. I know. Back to first grade. So, but a devotee thinks, oh Krishna, you have come personally in this devotee to correct me. I'm so fortunate. So this is Trinada Pisuni Chena Taro. Because he's seeing Krishna in everyone. He's seeing Krishna in everyone. Even in the karmis. You know, sometimes a karmi might chastise him and say, oh, Krishna has come in the form of a karmi. He's perceiving Krishna at all time, places and circumstances. That is the mood of a devotee. And Sanatana Goswami was kind of, you know, corrected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatana Goswami came and surrendered. He kind of took to sannyas vesh and he started saying, he did not even accept bhiksha. He said, I will not even wear new clothes. But he said, Tapan Mishraji, whatever clothes you have worn, you give me the worn clothes. I will wear that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. Oh, very nice. And then one devotee in Mayapur, in Banaras says, you can come to Prashadam every day, bhiksha. We will give you bhiksha. So he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you can come with me for lunch every day to this devotee's house. But he said, I will not come with you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will go to Madhukari. No, there is a difference between bhiksha and Madhukari. But bhiksha means you are going to someone's house for accepting prashadam. That is bhiksha. Madhukari means you are going door to door and begging. And whatever remnants they give, you partake that. So Sanatan Goswami says, I will not even come with you, Mahaprabhu, because I'll get proud. So I will go and live on Madhukari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed one thing. Sanatan Goswami was wearing sannyas vesh. He tore Tapan Mishra's clothes into three parts. One he wore as a cowpin, one to cover, and one as a chadar. You see that clothes which they are wearing up there? So that's how Sanatan Goswami is there, wearing three-piece cloth, three-piece. They all wear three-piece suit. Ours is also three-piece. Cowpin, dhoti, and chadar, three-piece. Our three-piece suit is like that. So he there. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed one thing. Sanatan Goswami was who? He was Dabir Khasa. He was a governor of Bengal. So all those governors used to wear a very rich, thick fur blanket to keep themselves warm. And Sanatan Goswami was still having that blanket. Posh blanket. Just presidents have that blanket. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to see that blanket like this. Just, he never said anything. Because see, intelligent people don't need chastisement. Intelligent people ke liye aankhon ka ishara kaafi hai. Only the eyes is enough. So Sanatan Goswami was seeing, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing him and the blanket. You see, what is he wearing? That's it. Sanatan Goswami understood. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not happy with the blanket. Because he was not parting away with his blanket. He had parted everything except that blanket. So then he goes, he gives it to a beggar. He tells the beggar, can I swap with you? And the beggar had a torn blanket which was not even good to even wipe the floor. He said, can I barter that with this posh blanket? And the guy near Ganga said, are you making fun of my poverty? Please go away. Don't make fun of my poverty. You're giving such a posh blanket for this torn cloth. No, I'm speaking the truth. Please, I beg you, please give me that torn blanket. And I'll give you my, and you thereby I'll get purified. Because my spiritual master wants me to get rectified. Because I'm attached. And then he wears the blanket and comes back after the snana. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sanatana, you've come back. Where's your blanket? I can't see your blanket. And Sanatan Goswami is very shy and, you know, he feels disgusted to say, Mahaprabhu, I know you noticed my attachment and you are so merciful that you stripped off my last attachment, that blanket, which I was carrying on my shoulders. So sometimes we are attached to many upadhis and spiritual master comes to tear away that upadhi. Sometimes he tears away forcibly, sometimes he tears away just by, you know, eyes. Sometimes he tears away by engaging us. So that's why we have to become sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. Hrishikesha hrishikena sevam bhakti vachat. So like that. So thank you very much for that question. I was able to relate the pastime. Any more questions or comments? No? Yes, Prabhuji. Sorry, Prabhuji. My limited mind, I was getting distracted. My sincere apologies for that. Yes, Prabhuji.
Brought out a very valid point of Bhagavad Gita being given in the war scenario. Yeah. I served in the Indian Army for 3 decades.
When I was telling that story, the thought came, you must be an army guy. I don't know why, but I thought there is a soldier sitting amongst us. Thank you for being here, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. My father served in the British Army and he had undergone a lot of
austerity.
With what you had mentioned, it was one of the, this one actually, you know. Yeah. He used to walk down about 70, 80 kilometers in the duration of 10 to 15 days.
World War II, yeah?
Packs and all those things and all. Even today in the Indian Army, Tuesdays and Sundays are treated as a Mandir parade.
Uh-huh.
In the Mandir parade.
Mandir parade.
Mandir is a temple.
Temple, okay.
In Mandir parade, Bhagavad Gita's, we have a unit pujari who comes out with paragraphs of this one, fighting qualities of Arjun. Wow. And Lord Krishna's sermon to the Arjun for how to wage a battle, actually, that is being told, actually, and how to fight this one. And it is very, this one, and there was one more interesting thing. Mm-hmm. A senior general, he was not illiterate. He had gone through NDA where he had done his 10th standard and joined NDA and then finally he qualified, but he was a well-read man. He asked in the open forum of all the senior pujaris and, you know, CEOs, everybody were sitting, how can a bullet, a man is dying, how can a God's power or spiritualism can help in protecting that person? If man is facing the bullet, he is going to die. How can a spiritualism help in protecting that person? Nobody could answer properly, but this general gave a very... I want to know what is your perception or opinion on this actually. Man is facing the death bullet and he is going to be shot dead. And how can the God or the spiritualism can help him in protecting that actually?
Yeah, I can just thank you for sharing this, Prabhuji, and my respects to you because we have to respect a soldier. And I was also hearing that sometimes soldiers are more better philosophers than philosophers because they see death every day. And they are also fighting the battle. At least those soldiers who are grounded on dharma, not every soldier, but those soldiers, as you said, who are grounded on the principles of dharma. I can only relate to my wife's grandfather who was in the battlefield, and he is a Sri Vaishnava. Because when he was in the UK, he has 5 minute to 10 minute ritual. Without tilka, he will not get out. And they wear a red line. They wear this and the red line in between. And the red line has to be precise and accurate. Until it becomes accurate, he doesn't get out of the house. And me and my wife used to wait until his tilka ritual was over. And without tilka, he will not come out. He say, "I can't be a widow. I can't be a widow. I can't come like that. I'm not a widow." So he'll put that. Now I understand what he means. So he used to say, even in the battlefield, with his helmet on, he was a radio technician then. He never went to the battleground without the tilak. So much attachment to Krishna he had. And his chanting was Srinivasa. His name was Srinivasa Achar. And he always used to chant Srinivasa, Srinivasa, Srinivasa. And even when his friend died, and he begged to his general to say, "Please save my friend." He was slapped by his general, by his British general, to say, "You just run from here." And all they put was a number. They put a token number so his body can be transported back. That's all they do in the World War. My grandfather said, they put a number, whatever, 1034 or whatever. So by the code, it will be identified it as his body, which then has to go to a specific destination, back to the family. At least they did that. But what he did was he shook him. He said, "Don't die, don't die." And he was chanting Srinivasa, Venkatesha. So by Prabhupada's mercy, what I feel is Krishna, see, this body is anyways mortal. As Arjuna was fighting the battle, we can learn from Arjuna that the Deha Vyamoha is not there for a soldier. He is not bothered if he dies. We know that, and you know that very well. He is not worried about dying in the battlefield. He thinks it's pride to die in the battlefield. What distinguishes the consciousness is, some soldier thinks, "I'll die for this country," which is amazing, which is good, which is great, because this country is a manifest, this bhumi is a manifestation of Lakshmi Devi. We'll see in the sixth canto, actually. This whole material world is a manifestation of Lakshmi, the energy of the Lord. But if somebody goes a little further and says, "I will die for you, Krishna," and Radha and Krishna, or Lakshmi and Narayana, then that seals his next life, to say, because then thereby he is connecting his purpose of living and his purpose of dying in the battlefield to please the ultimate authority, who is Krishna. Of course, as a soldier, his allegiance is to the country, his allegiance is to the motherland that he is fighting for, but the real mother is Lakshmi Devi. This bhumi, this prakriti, is Lakshmi Devi. So if he thinks Lakshmi and her husband Narayana, then his death becomes immortalized. It's not too far. They're still immortal, but if he dies for his country, he will have to take birth again as a soldier, which is also not bad. But if he takes birth as a devotee soldier, it's even more glorious, because he can not only defeat the other enemy, but he can transform the enemy to come to Krishna. So this is the difference between Arjuna, a fighter like Arjuna, because even Duryodhana was a fighter. You see, even he was a warrior. But the difference between them was, Arjuna was a devotee warrior and Duryodhana was a selfish warrior. So we can learn both of this from the lessons of Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita. So how to become a perfect warrior? That's Arjuna and Bhima and Yudhishthira and all of the Pandavas. So their fighting becomes perfect. So Krishna says, "Utho, get up pick up your Gandiva and fight." So the warrior gets up and fight, but he fights for Krishna. "Krishna, I'm fighting for you, but on the principles of dharma." That's why Indian army is glorified even today, because they are not vicious, because Indian army has that the spirit of humanity, the spirit of dharma, that element of dharma permeates into the culture of army that you can see, which is practically absent in any other armed forces. That is the pride. I was an NCC cadet in the naval, and I've been in the naval base for a few months by my college in Fortune of Krishna. So I was able to see the warriors very closely when they were serving in the submarines. I've been in the submarine and a warship, so it was amazing to see the soldiers, how they are away from their families for 3-4 years and they don't complain. It's amazing. So they're also serving for a higher cause. But the devotees, so this is the amalgamation of a devotee and a warrior, that is Arjuna. So we should become like that. So I hope that answers your question in brief, Prabhuji.
Excellent, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Very nicely.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
First time I'm hearing a very accurate story of this battlefield scenario in Mahabharata from you.
Yes, Prabhuji. Sure. Thank you very much. All due to glories of Srila Prabhupada, who has given us the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Grim. Even a layman can speak Bhagavad Gita only by the mercy of Guru. Otherwise, I don't have any qualifications. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. We'll stop here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrind Ki Jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Tiro Bhavati Ti Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.